Hi, and welcome to the Friday Coffee Meetup Podcast for Friday, April 24th, 2020. On today's episode, we'll hear from Friday Coffee Meetup's own Valerie Alexander on how to maximize happiness and engagement when leading remote teams. The Friday Coffee Meetup Podcast is brought to you by Echo Factory, a Pasadena-based marketing and advertising agency that specializes helping healthcare, consumer goods, clean tech, and aerospace companies achieve rapid sustainable growth. Echo Factory CEO Mike Schaefer is a co-founder and organizer of Friday Coffee Meetup. If you're interested in how Echo Factory can help your company achieve rapid sustainable growth, you can learn more at echo-factory.com. Every week, the Friday Coffee Meetup brings together innovators, startups, investors, tech companies, and entrepreneurs at the cross-campus co-working space in Pasadena. You can learn more about upcoming meetups and how you can attend in person at FridayCoffeeMeetup.com. Now, everybody. Here's Valerie with this week's presentation.
Let's grab some seats. We're going to get started in just a minute.
I am very pleased to have Valerie here with us this morning. Valerie Alexander started out her career as an IPO lawyer, an internet executive, an investment banker in Silicon Valley. And then she transitioned and became a screenwriter and director. And now she is a celebrated CEO, author, and speaker. I had the privilege of watching her TED Talk. We use Tech Talk at work. I had the privilege of watching her TED Talk in person and her TED Talk about how to outsmart your own unconscious bias has been viewed over 75,000 times. I have put that information in the chat window so you can check that out as well. And she's also the author of two best-selling books, Success is the Second Language and How Women Can Succeed in the Workplace. She has other books as well, Happiness is the Second Language, and she's actually trademarked as a second language for her book series that she's producing. We are so pleased to have her here with us today. She's one of my favorite speakers, and she has helped me in my own process. So I'm so grateful to her and excited to introduce you all to Valerie Alexander. With that, I'm going to stop sharing and I will turn it over to Valerie.
Thank you so much, Christy. You know how much I love Friday Coffee Meetup. This is my fourth time, I think, speaking. And this is a gathering that I love. I love this audience. It's so intelligent and professional, and it's just wonderful to be part of this group. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me back. I'm going to start today with a little bit of fun. So this is where we're starting.
Trip Crosby
has joined the meeting.
So this might look familiar to some of you right about now.
Has joined the meeting.
Hello?
Tyler?
No, this is Beth from ICS.
Oh, hey, Beth. How are you doing?
Oh, good, yeah. Just making it, you know.
Tyler?
Has joined the meeting.
All right, well, this is Trip. Who's here?
Tyler's here.
Beth's here.
Okay, the purpose of today's meeting is to discuss the...
Yeah, I'll be able to do it in like 30 minutes. John
has joined the meeting.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I was just trying to go over the purpose of today's meeting, which is to discuss the Tyler
has joined the meeting.
Sorry, guys, I got cut off. Is Paul here? Send him an invite.
Your access code.
No, that's your PIN number.
It should be a 9-digit number.
Try pressing the pound key.
Paul.
Has joined the meeting.
Any questions before we move on?
Yes, this is Beth. What's our best plan of attack for the second quarter?
I think what we should do.
It actually
really
depends on how you look at it.
Because really come.
Go ahead.
Let me just say that. Okay.
That's a great graph, John. Tyler?
Well, my main concern with the projections from year was that they're just insufficient. I mean, they're not even taking into account.
Did we lose Tyler again?
Hello?
John, are you guys taking distributions? John?
Oh, my bad. I was on mute. Let me start over.
So I've prepared a presentation. I'm sharing it with all of you. You should be able to see it on your screen right now.
Got it.
I don't see a link anywhere.
It says I need to download a plugin.
We are all using Macs, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
How can you?
Financials are looking great. Paul, do you have any comments on staffing?
I was thinking about that because we get a few more contractor types in. Hold on, I'm sorry.
Rex, get down.
No, I feel like when I'm more diverse, that people are looking different. So if you could really tighten that up, then.
To me, staffing is a huge...
Is that me?
I just want to go over a couple of details as we move into our next section here. We got three new departments coming on.
I'm breaking up a little bit, guys.
By the end of Q3.
I'm in the dead spot.
I need everyone to give me detailed evaluations each month so that we know. That's it, guys. Beth, you'll send out a recap email that could have basically taken the place of this whole meeting, correct?
Yep, always do.
Yeah, thanks for doing that, Beth. Dave, you been here the whole time?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, thanks everyone once again. Oh, one more.
So I wanted to start with something fun today that again is probably looking pretty familiar to all of us right about now, because where we are is anywhere but fun. For the past 6 weeks, you've had to be as strong as you've ever had to be as a leader. So I want to start with an honest look at where each of us is right now in our, and to do that, let's start with a little bit of guided visualization. So right now, close your eyes. Close your eyes and take two deep breaths. Breathe more deeply than you have this whole week. Now think of your favorite sport. It can be anything: football, soccer, chess, gymnastics, ice dancing, Fortnite. Pick a team playing that sport, and you're the head coach. So imagine coaching a team playing that sport. Now imagine the workforce at your company is the team playing. So now imagine that right now, today, what's happening in our country and in your company and with your people is what's happening with that team in that gamer match. And guess what? It's not even halftime yet. So get a good mental picture of how you, as the head coach, might be feeling about this game. Think of two or three words to describe your mental state right now. And open your eyes. At the bottom of your screen is an icon that says chat. Click on it and share the two or three words you came up with to describe your state of mind right now. And please don't self-edit. Don't be afraid to share candidly. So we're gonna share some of the things that people are typing in right about now. Powerless, confused, hopeful, that's good, scared completely, optimistic, challenged, what's the focus and medium-term strategy, stressed, confused, alone, grateful, frustrated. See, all of these reactions are perfectly normal. You'll notice, though, that there's a wide array from hopeful to scared and frustrated because there is no one way of feeling right now. How you're reacting may be entirely different from how your colleagues are reacting, or your kids, or the managers in your company, or your workforce. So everyone is having a wide array of reactions to this, which makes it especially challenging to be a leader. We were all raised with the saying, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." And somehow that got turned into the golden rule. That got turned into treat people the way you want to be treated. And you know what? This is the worst advice. The true golden rule is to treat people the way they want to be treated. Your obligation as a leader now, more than ever, is to put the time and effort in to figure out what each person needs and do whatever is in your power to provide it. So today we're going to talk about the leadership challenges of a remote workforce. We're going to talk about leading during a crisis and how you as a leader can get it right every time. And we're going to start with the leadership challenges of a remote workforce, because this is uncharted territory for many of us. The principles of leadership are the same, regardless of where your followers are. The number one factor that determines how happy someone is at work. And by the way, happiness and engagement are the same thing. The reason I talk about happiness is because happiness is about your employee. Engagement is what you want. Happiness is what they want. And so no one ever gets at home at the end of the day and says, wow, I was really unengaged at work. But they do say, wow, I was really unhappy. So it's the same management and the same principles to get to the same outcome that a leader will call engagement, but that your workforce just thinks of as their happiness. And the number one factor that determines how happy someone is at work is the sense of accomplishment they get from their job. And that makes sense. You love your job the most when you're getting things done, when you're making progress, when you're using your skills. The same is true for your workforce. Don't take that away from them just because you aren't all in the same place. When leading a team that has been thrust unexpectedly into their own separate workspaces, the one thing you need to be is intentional. The leader whose managerial skills are characterized by MBWA we'll have to find another way to check on, supervise, and inspire the team. Here are things you used to do by instinct and happenstance, and now because the team is remote, you have to be intentional about them. Checking in on everyone's well-being. Who answers to who? How often, when, and how everyone interacts, and your security. And the main thing you have to be truly intentional about is caring for your workforce. This means making sure everyone is emotionally okay and physically okay and has the tools they need where they are to do their jobs. And checking in on everyone's well-being isn't one and done. If you asked 3 weeks ago, don't tell yourself everyone's still the same. Put it on your calendar to check in with every one of your direct reports at least once a week on their physical and emotional status. This is not a therapy session. It does not have to be a therapy session. It is really three simple questions. When you check in with someone on their well-being, you ask, do you have everything you need to do your job? Overall, how are you feeling? If someone says they're scared or stressed or they're freaking out, again, you don't have to be their therapist. You don't even have to agree with them. What you can say is, I understand. I hear that you're scared. I am understanding. That is a completely rational way to respond. You can do the mirroring technique where someone says, I'm scared. I've got the kids in the house. I don't know what to do. My days are not filled anymore. You can say, all right, kids in the house. Got it. No worries. Just be the voice of the company that lets them know the company still cares. And then ask, is there anything you need from the company or me? Set aside 1 hour every day as a leader for this. And in that time, you can make 5 to 7 of these calls. These are at most 10-minute calls. So you can talk to 25 to 35 people each week. If you have more employees than that, then you only reach out to your direct reports and make sure every manager is doing the same. And if someone tells you they need something, follow up. Make sure it's being taken care of or share why it can't happen. I mentioned your direct reports and their direct reports, which brings us to the second thing you have to be intentional about now when your workforce is remote. Now, you might be a believer in everyone being at the same level and no hierarchy, but when a team is remote, someone must be in charge. When you are higher on a ladder, you have a better view. And when you are lower on a ladder, you may not be able to see far enough to fully understand what's happening or what needs to be done. It is the job of the person with the broadest view to set everyone's priorities. Everyone working for you needs clear direction on everything they do. They are not in a position right now to simply figure out what needs to be done and jump in and get started. And as I said above, what makes people happy in their jobs is a sense of accomplishment, a feeling like they are able to put their skills to use, that they are making progress on work that makes a difference. So when you set priorities for your workforce, especially if you're moving the goal line, if you're asking them to do a new task before they've had the chance to finish the one they're working on because something urgent has come up, all our workplaces operate on the tyranny of the urgent. If you're going to do that, communicate first with appreciation. Hey, thanks for those reports you're filing. Then give them clear direction. But a customer didn't get their order and that's a top priority, so I need you to go handle that. And then express confidence in their abilities. And I know you've got this. I know that seems like a lot of words. You're like, well, wait a minute. I could just say, stop doing those reports and go find where the customer's order is. You could, but that is really destabilizing for your employee. Again, especially if they're by themselves in their house, trying to figure out if they're doing a good job or not. So when you communicate with appreciation, give clear directions, and express confidence, you're restoring that sense of accomplishment. And you might be thinking, there is no way I am going to remember all of those steps. But here's how you do that. You rock your employees with ACDC. Appreciation, clear direction, and confidence in their abilities. One of the things that happens during a crisis is that people feel out of control. So they focus on the minutiae, the things they can control. They micromanage or lead below their level. Make sure you're not doing this. Let your managers manage their people. Because that sense of accomplishment is so much harder to achieve when people aren't surrounded by colleagues or coworkers or getting feedback. And that brings us to how often, when, and how everyone interacts. In one of my online networking groups, in a thread about working from home, one woman said, my boss has discovered that he has nothing to do. He's scheduling all these ridiculous status check-ins. I never needed that before. Why do I need that now? And someone else replied, are you kidding? I'd love to hear from my boss on a regular basis. Both of these problems are solved when communication is intentional. You, as a leader, should strive to be as accessible to your people as possible. Hold office hours that you schedule, maybe just once a week, or maybe a couple times a week, where you are in and the door is open. That means start a video conference that everyone has a link to. It might be just you sitting there by yourself. That's fine. But if someone drops in, they'll be so happy to see you. And they will feel so much more secure when you are accessible. As to how everyone will meet, it is so much more effective when you can see everyone on the team and share screens when things are coming up. So video conferencing is one of the best ways for everyone to stay in touch with each other, but video conferencing has its own challenges. Now, because of time limits on this talk, we can't go through all the things that need to be covered on the topic of video conferencing. So I created a document called Video Conferencing Best Practices that I will send to anyone who wants it. My email address is valerie@speakhappiness.com. Someone could drop that in the chat. That'd be great. So it's valerie@speakhappiness.com. After we're done, if you send me an email, I will email that document to you. The one big thing I want to say about video conferencing, it's in the document, but it needs to be said again. Treat your video conference and all your online interaction now as if it's going to be broadcast in Times Square. You have no control if somebody is at home literally taping their screen with the phone, and all those video conferences might live on forever. They might wind up on the internet. You just have to Google the terms, the words poor Jennifer to see what can go wrong in a video conference and how easily and quickly it can be shared. So be cautious about how private video conferences are. If your employees are working from home for the first time, you want to help them do that. And again, because of time constraints, I created a document called How to Stay Productive from Working from Home. If you want a copy, email me and I'll get you one. Once you have that, I've sent it to you, feel free to share it with your employees or use it as a basis for creating something more specific to your workforce. These sections, video conferencing best practices and working from home, are part of a longer version of this talk. So I have a 1-hour webinar version and a 2.5-hour online training for leaders and managers. If you feel those would be useful for your workforce right now, please reach out and we'll schedule something. But as far as working from home, make it as easy as possible for your workforce. This is Dart Homes, which is a real estate brokerage in Maryland. They made this for their workforce. You could do something like this for your people. It'll be fun, and where you could have a contest to see who could make the one that's most shared or most fun for everybody. So finally, depending on your industry, now is really the time to be intentional about security. Are documents going into people's homes? Is anyone working on a computer they share with their kids? Have a team that identifies all of the possible security issues from having a remote workforce and put policies into place now to address them. And the best people to ask about this is your own workforce. Based on the corporate culture assessments I do when I go into a company, I speak with the employees and generate a report for leadership as to the areas in which their culture most needs improvement. I came up with this very accurate definition of a consultant. It's someone who asks your employees what you should have asked them, then charges 6 figures to tell you what they would have told you for free. Trust your employees. The more you trust them, the more they will trust you. And something you need right now among everyone involved in your company's success is trust. Remember, when people are working from home, now they have to motivate themselves more than ever before, and self-motivation is exhausting. It requires mental energy, and mental energy is mental labor, which is labor. So many bosses think their team working from home have it easier. They're sleeping in. There's no commute. They can wear sweats all day long. But the reality is everything about this requires exponentially more mental effort. And you know, because you're feeling it too, which brings us to leading during a crisis. Right now, what people want and need more than anything is stability, and they need it from you. They probably don't even realize how much they need it. Your work family needs to know that your decisions are based, in least in part, on what's best for them. If they get a sense that your decisions are motivated primarily by profitability, you will lose their commitment to you. Now, some of you are in industries that have been deemed essential, and everyone is working harder than they ever have. How do you avoid burnout in those situations? Well, in the immediate short term, pile on the acknowledgement. Say, I know this is above and beyond your job, and we're asking way too much of you. Express sincere appreciation. I am so grateful for everything you're doing. Thank people daily and individually and publicly. Do it on those video chats. If somebody has gone way above and beyond the call, call it out when they're in front of all of their colleagues. If someone is putting in an 80-hour work week or even a 60-hour work week, take 1 hour out of their 12-hour day to acknowledge that's not the norm. And then brainstorm ways that you can relieve some of their duties, even if only temporarily, until we return to normal. There are people with more to do than ever in your company, and there are people with less to do than ever in your company. Find a way to achieve a balance among those. So let's talk about you. I know this is stressful for you. and you have your own mental exhaustion and emotional fatigue, it's okay to show that to your team. But if you do that, it has to come from a place of vulnerability without letting them doubt your strength and your ability to get everyone through this. When this crisis is over, and it will be, go to Hawaii and decompress. But right now, gain strength from how much people need you. Let their need be your fuel. This crisis will pass. And when it does, your company will have gotten to the best outcomes that could possibly be achieved in these circumstances because you are in charge and you're ready. You've got this. I will prove it to you right now. Let's do another visualization. Once again, close your eyes and take two deep cleansing breaths and release your stress. Now, revisit the team from the start of this talk, the one you're coaching in your favorite sport. Remember how you were feeling right before halftime. Now imagine you, as the head coach, have called every play we talked about today, and you have your team's commitment, and your assistant coaches have given you their best, and there's 30 seconds left to play. With your eyes closed, just watch the last 30 seconds of this game. I'll start the clock. Time. Open your eyes and think of two or three words now that describe how you feel. And please share them in the chat. Empowering and motivated, energized, content, excited, empathetic, energized, hopeful, relieved, compassion. These are great. What a remarkable journey we've taken. You can maximize the happiness and engagement of your team, even when working remotely, even during a crisis. All culture comes from the top down. All leadership comes from the top down. And you have all the tools you need right now to get it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. That was amazing. I feel so peaceful now. You have a very calming voice. I'm like zen. So thank you for that. We are going to open it up to Q&A now. Don't put your questions in the chat. Go ahead and put them in the Q&A window. I love the comments that are happening right now in the chat.
Thank you.
Wow, you did a great job. Very professional. I have to say, hats off for transitioning between all the tools and running basically a workshop at the same time. It's very impressive.
Thank you.
What has, in doing this, I know that you do online stuff all the time, but has there been any specific learning for you in this process of transitioning everything to online?
Well, it's interesting. There are companies that aren't, they don't think the online will work. So there's a lot of companies have been resistant to having their workforce be remote. And when they were forced into it, they discovered, hey, people actually do work when they're working from home. So I think that's going to be one of the great outcomes of this whole event, is that we're going to see a lot more remote working, and that's going to be better for everybody. It's going to be better for employees, better for company, better for environment. But I've also had companies tell me, I've had companies cancel events on me. As you know, my primary function is as a keynote speaker. All of that went away. And I reached out to those companies and I said, if you're interested, we can still do this by webinar. And some have said, no, we're not going to do that. And some have said, yeah. And the ones who've said yes have been just fantastic to work with, but also they're blown away. They're like, how did this, they couldn't believe it. Like, especially the training, like there's, like I said, there's a 2.5 hour training version of this. There's a 2.5 hour training version of the unconscious bias workshop for leaders and managers. And it is remarkable that it can work as well by video as it does. So the one thing that hasn't come back is keynotes. So keynotes, people aren't yet comfortable. And I understand that. If I had the technology to make a hologram of myself and to be like, if we could all be holograms and I could be on a stage, awesome. But if not, and the thing I should have done a long time ago, I'm turning all of these into online courses okay. managers can take on their own time. So we're going to have an online course on making happiness your secret weapon. Boy, companies will save hundreds of millions of dollars when they make the happiness of their workforce a priority. Like the expenses of unhappiness I wish it was in your P&L statement how much the unhappiness in your workforce costs you. So happiness in the workforce is going to be an online course. How to outsmart your own unconscious bias is going to be an online course. And how women can succeed in the workplace is going to be an online course. And then I'm creating right now, and as an emergency, an online mini course for when leading remote teams and leading during a crisis, and those I'll make available for free just because people need them. So all of that should be up hopefully by May 1st.
Fantastic. Well done. That's wonderful. We have just a request. The opening video was funny and right on. Can we post the link to it? Maybe we can have somebody from our team go out and post the link. If you tell us what it is.
If you guys want to wait a moment, I have the link. So let me just, I will post it in the chat. That's not a problem.
Okay.
And in fact, I can post two of them because there's, sorry. Let's see if so copy, paste. So that's the opening video, which, come on, why won't this, did that paste already in the chat?
Let me see.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I'm going over to chat.
That was my fault. It should have been all panels and attendees. So,
okay.
I'm hitting return, but it's not, for whatever reason, my chat it's not letting me join. That's super weird.
That is super weird.
So let me try it again. I'm going to do this. I'm going to close the chat window. I'm going to reopen chat and I'm going to post. There we go. So that's
okay, perfect.
Here, you asked what I've learned in the course of doing this. I've learned that often all you have to do is close and reopen a window and things will work, like this morning with the video. So the first one is the one we shared here. The second one I posted is really funny. It's
knowing enough about a subject.
Oh, sorry.
That's not me. I don't know.
Let me mute that really quick.
Okay.
One second here.
So the first link I posted is the video we saw. The second link I posted is a video conference in real life. It's the same crew. They're very funny. And it wouldn't translate as well into this talk, but if you watch it now, you'll get like, yeah, this is what we're all experiencing in video conferencing right now.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing those.
One other thing I want to say, I wasn't sure we had time, but anybody, if you email me, I will send you the video conferencing best practices and the how to be productive working from home thing. In the video conferencing best practices, I talk about choosing the right platform for your workplace and having people assigned to choose the right platform, make that a real task. But I don't make it clear enough. You need to make sure everybody knows how to use it. And that's in there. You need to make sure people aren't made to feel stupid. I have been on so many video calls in the last 3 weeks where somebody who doesn't know how to like do something, is not a chat, like you saw right now, I who have been doing this extensively had trouble posting something in the chat. But someone who has never posted something in the chat and they can't get chat to work, please don't let everyone else be like, you know, well, that person is trying to post. These are stressful days for people, and it is new technology. And I had a 94-year-old aunt who used to say, anything you know is easy. Anything you already know how to do is easy. Like, I'm trying to learn how to read music right now. If you learned how to read music when you were under 10, reading music is easy. You know what? Learning to read music is impossible when you're, especially when you're over 40. It's impossible. So yeah, be very kind and be very helpful with people who are learning these new technologies, because they're already
I love that.
Yes. Yeah.
Be kind. Our next question is, I managed remote workers before, but they chose to be remote and they thrive. For the others, should I engage with them differently now that I always have with my remote workers?
Yes. Yes. The people who have been thrust into remote and maybe don't want to be doing it. I have one of my best friends, we were talking about this, and she said, I go to work to get out of my house. First off, you can add a little fun to some of your interactions. You can have like fun backgrounds. Here's a background I use fairly often when I'm in conversations. So you can have fun backgrounds. You can do that to make them feel a little more like part of the team. You can have a water cooler where 1 hour a day, there's a video chat that's open for everyone to just go hang out. And there's no agenda. You can't talk about work. You can call it, if you call it water cooler, you can't talk about work. So that's going to make it a little easier for those people. But also when you check in with them, say, how are you? What do you need? My friend who said she goes to work to get out of her house, she also said, this sucks. You know what? My chair at work is comfortable. I don't have a single chair in my house that I can sit in all day and work. That would be such an easy thing for her employer to fix. Send her her chair. Or open the office one day and let her come pick up her chair. Anything, just make sure people are comfortable and they're getting what they need. I'll take away my
it's space. So important. Actually, that brings us to the next question. They like how you've changed your background back and forth with the PowerPoint. They wanted to know a little bit about that and the dimensions that you use, because the image fits so perfectly. I will let you know, audience, I asked this question beforehand. And then also that I can answer this part about the Q&A feature. The Q&A feature is part of the webinar package. It's a special package beyond the normal package. So that's how the Q&A is answered. But I will let Valerie talk about her backgrounds and switching between areas. She's doing a great job.
This was my secret web. I have this is the question I get on every webinar, because everybody's like, how did you do that? So I have not fed my PowerPoint into my background. What I've done is I've taken the key PowerPoint slides that are the most important, and I have created background slides out of them using literally a Word document, where I take a Word document, I put the slide up in the corner of the Word document, and then I screenshot it. And then I position myself around it. So I don't do it with every slide. I do it with the slides that I know we're going to have to go back to. Or this for this talk, because we were on limited time, I couldn't do the 1 hour version, the 2.5 hour version. There's slides that I would use in the talk that I didn't get to use. So I just touched on. So I made the slides of those as background slides. And that worked really well. So like I said, it's not every slide. It's just a few. This is the one I'm most proud of. Because I love that slide.
Very good.
And then there's in the 1 hour version of the talk, I talk about when you go home and talk to your cat about how unhappy you are at work. We didn't get to it in this. And then I have one for a different talk I do where it's also in the longer version of this talk about how productive people are being and this. So
right.
I get asked about this more than anything else. It was my secret weapon. I think I now have to make a video explaining how to do it, because because everybody wants to know. That's it. You take your slide, you make a Word document of it, you screenshot that Word document so you have a background shape thing, and then you choose, in Zoom, you have the option. I'll tell everybody this. In fact, this will be fun. You can do it right now. In the bottom of your screen is a little thing that says start video or stop video, hopefully for everybody.
You know what? I'm not sure if the attendees get
it. You might not have it as an attendee. So play with Zoom on your own. Where you see the little stop video, start video, next to that is a little up caret. If you click on that, you have the option to choose virtual backgrounds. When you click on that, you go into choose virtual backgrounds, and to the right of the word choose virtual backgrounds is a plus sign. Click on that plus sign and you can put any picture. So I have made literally screenshots of all of the backgrounds I want as Word documents and then made them. So, and by the way, how to do it during the presentation. It is a very complex ballet. I mean, to go back and forth between sharing the screen, changing the background, advancing the slide, unshare the screen, go back to your talk. I before the first time I did this, which was about a week ago, I rehearsed, I think probably like four times. I went through the entire, and that was a 1 hour talk. I went through the entire 1 hour talk and I will, you know what? I'll go one further for you. I'll be really nice and share a screen, which normally I wouldn't do, but this is just what, here. So I'm going to share this screen. So now you're seeing my whole desktop. And you'll see, like, look at this, advanced slide, title, mm-hmm. background, stop, share, advanced slide, meditation, share screen, title, background. I mean, this is a really orchestrated thing, red smiley, stop, share, all that stuff. And I do that like so that, because you can't not plan this. You can't just wing it. If you're going right. to do that kind of thing where you're changing your background, you're sharing a screen, you're advancing slides, it's
amazing. Well done. Our next question, do you think the post-COVID-19 world will embrace online learning as a preferred means of work and communication? So I guess all three, online learning, communication, and work.
Yes. I think we have opened so many people's eyes to the way of doing things electronically that they weren't doing before. Like, so post-COVID-19, I think there'll be more remote work. I think there'll be a lot more online learning. Look at what our students are learning right now. Look at what high school and college and even grade school students are learning. They're learning, think about what this might do for sick days for kids. Like, if you have to be homesick from school one day, maybe the classroom is going to have a camera in it. And a kid who's home from school sick can just be at school online. There are so many more things that we are going to be able to accomplish. I'm having online learning with people in countries that I've never been to. And there's companies that are reaching out to me from those countries and that they couldn't, there's no way they could afford to, for my travel and my fee to bring me there personally. Happy to talk to them about doing a webinar. Yeah.
Fantastic. So we can look at new business opportunities, I think, as well, right? It's going to expand and provide new opportunities.
Yeah. I just saw somebody in the chat said, look what parents are learning. Yeah. The first day of schools closed, I posted on Facebook. So I think all the parents in the world now have a new appreciation of teachers. I think parents are also learning, you know what? Your kid is the problem.
Right. Exactly. The next question is, I've considered flex hours for employees given some of the homeschooling now, but unsure how to implement this and still be effective as a team. Any tips on this?
Oh, completely. I've talked about this in the longer version of this. Check in with everybody and make sure that the people who don't have kids aren't being completely displaced by this. But it's a really good idea to have kid hours. Say the kid hours are 10 to noon and 2 to 4 every day, where your kids get to use the computer or where you can, you know, do the homeschooling that you're having to do with them. But make sure the people who are doing that know that it's still your work day. So if you're taking 3 hours to work with your kid, we need you to make up 1 to 2 of those hours. One of the worst things I've heard is leaders are complaining about, well, people are on their payroll, they're homeschooling their kid. You know what? That's not what that person signed up for. So don't make it 1-to-1. Don't say for every hour you spend homeschooling your kid, you have to spend an extra hour at the end of the day in the job. You're going to create so much burnout that way. Be very reasonable. But here's a possible thing. Maybe have a study hour for kids where, literally, I just thought of this. I'm going to add it now to the presentation. Thank you for the question. The company can create a Zoom workspace for, like, all, if the company's large enough, all the first through third graders to to be in a space at the same time and maybe only one or two adults in that room from the company. If you have people in the company who are doing less than they normally do, like a lot of assistants have a lot less to do than they used to do, you know, because you're not in an office or things aren't happening. Let your assistant be the room monitor for the grade school kids and see, does anybody have any questions? So the kids can each be doing their own work and then they can check in, and that alleviates that parent from having to do that. Oh, that would be such a great solution. Okay, cool. That's great. Yeah, but do not bag on your parents because they're having to homeschool their kids, and do not change the obligations of other people because someone has kids. Just talk to everyone. Here's my favorite thing ever. Like I said, I swear to you, as a consultant, I will go into a company, I will talk to all the employees, and everyone is saying, this is what I already told my boss. And somehow when I tell the boss, they listen to it. It makes me crazy.
Yeah.
I would love to put myself out of business as a culture expert, like, but I won't. But here's an idea. Gather all the parents and non-parents on a Zoom call and say, we're going to have a town hall about homeschooling. And we want everybody's input, especially the people who aren't homeschooling right now. And have the first 15 minutes be everyone's frustration. Let for 15 minutes express what you're feeling. Because there's also going to be somebody who says, I can't get my boss ever on the phone now because she's got her kids at home. Say, all right, understand. Let's work that out. Maybe bring the kids on the call too.
I love seeing some of our people, some of their kids come on our calls, and I love it. It's kind of refreshing. While we wait, if there are any other questions from the audience, I wanted to ask you, I noticed you've been putting some great messages out on LinkedIn. What has that been like? I've seen more video messages from you. Can you talk a little bit about what tactics you're taking and why that has been important for you?
Sure. I will share, for the first week of this crisis, I literally shut down. I mean, first off, $40,000 of speaking gigs went away in a matter of 2 days. That was stunning. So I think I went into a little depression. And then I felt helpless. And here's how our brains work. Our prefrontal cortex is our executive functions. Decision-making, emotions control, social interaction. Our amygdala is our fear response. That's, so we've always called that fight or flight. But with this crisis, most of us can't fight. We're not virologists. I'm not out there making a vaccine, so I can't fight. We can't flight. We're literally stuck in our homes. And the model is really not just fight or flight. It's fight, flight, or freeze. And I think a lot of people froze, and I was among them. I definitely froze. And so at the end of like a few, kind of about a week, I said, wait, what am I doing? I have to do something here. And it is, I was like, I have to be helpful. That is what got me out of my freeze. And by the way, that freeze, if your employees are in freeze right now, that is not a relaxing freeze. That's a high tension freeze. So when I was like, all right, if I'm going to move, I've got to be helpful. What can I do to be helpful? And I just thought, well, the things I know are happiness, inclusion, advancement of women. Inclusion and advancement of women aren't priorities right now, but boy, happiness sure is. So that's when I decided I can bring my brain science expertise to it. I can bring my workplace happiness expertise to this, and I can create messages for people about how to be happy. So that's been a joy. That's been really fun. And people have shared some of them. And then I made the video about how to make a mask that Vegas participated in. If you want a video of pure chaos, go Google Valerie in Vegas make a face mask.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I think we should bring Vegas in now for our final photo for you.
Yes, Vegas was supposed to be let in a moment ago. So I've got to turn off the background because when Vegas shows up, it gets chaos. But then let me get it.
Okay. Vegas is our special surprise guest today. And we'll get a photo with Valerie and her special surprise guest.
Come on up. he usually comes right up here. He's there's all these things on my desk that he's sniffing and he's investigating right now. Hang on, Vegas. Come. This is the funniest thing. Like, it's just like your kid. Like, right when you want to make you proud. He typically, it literally, when he runs into my office, he jumps up on my desk every time. And
I know. I've seen him on the LinkedIn videos.
This is the one time he's choosing not to. Come here, baby. This is so weird. Hey, it's so strange. He is typically, I can't get him out of my lap. So.
I know. I've seen on your videos. It's pretty funny. Well, anything else you want to leave us with before I kind of close us up?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Be happy. I had a couple people say, we can't, like, this is not our time for happiness. Like we're scared. Okay. Scared is natural. Scared is understandable. It is a perfectly rational response, but unhappy is a choice. So be scared, accept that you're scared. If you have to freeze, freeze. But no, tell yourself you're a happy person. Just say, you know what, I'm a happy person. And that means when this passes, you will emerge and still be a happy person. Because this will pass. This crisis will pass and we'll come out of it better. We will come out of it better. So do that.
I love that. Be happy, people. So thank you so much, Valerie. We really appreciate you joining us today and sharing some happiness with us. I think we all needed that. We're looking forward to next week's Friday Coffee Meetup. We hope to see you there. It's going to be about regulatory and investment intersections for healthcare startups. And this will be with Kwame Omer of Waymaker 360 Health. So we hope to see you next week. Please stay safe and well in the meantime. Thank you all. Thank you, Valerie. Take care, everyone. Bye.
The Friday Coffee Meetup podcast is brought to you by Echo Factory. Learn more about how Echo Factory can help your business achieve rapid, sustainable growth at echo-factory.com. And get all the details about upcoming Friday Coffee Meetup episodes at fridaycoffeemeetup.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.